easily. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Okay, welcome. Today's date is September 21st, 2025. And tonight I'm going to be talking about patience. Before I get on to that, I'm going to share something a little bit special. I hope I can, if I can find it.
We'll be patient.
Okay, this was written back in 2005. It says, "Dear Elizabeth, in 20 years, when you open this letter, I pray that your life is as successful
as it has been. So far,
I am very proud of you. You are hardworking, intelligent, and have had a very productive high school term. The things that you have gained from cheerleading, Latin, band, and softball will help you throughout your life. Hard work, dedication, teamwork, and intelligence, these all come from these extracurricular things that you've done. I'm sure you'll be your own person and very successful because the seed has been planted. We just have to watch it grow. I love you very much, my sweet, caring girl. P.S. Seek first the kingdom of God." Whoever organized Elizabeth's 20th high school reunion did an excellent job. I didn't have that, but with Florida High, they do real good about planning that because they've been there forever. But anyway, it was good for me to see that what I wrote 20 years ago when I was here was effective then. And it's like, oh, I was glad of what I said back then. I'm thinking if I was to write a letter now, it probably wouldn't be the same because I'm not in the same place now that I was then. So when I read that, it edified me. It's like, oh, I'm glad I was there to say, you're doing a good job. You, all these things are going to make it better so that you'll have a better life, and the seed's been planted. That's what my husband always talks about, is planting the seed, watching it grow. And I'm real proud of her and, you know, what she has done. And Stan wrote a letter, and then Hannah wrote a letter, too, and she was only 9 years old, so it was really cute. And my son, he was, you know, one of those 10th graders, so I don't think he had time to do that kind of letter. But I know he would have said something more fantastic than that. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that since I didn't have a cornball joke to say. I didn't know I was going to get up here to start. It's like, who wants to see that? It's like, oh, Lord, I turned into Beth. Why'd you call me this morning? I can't get my words out. I turned into Beth. Anyway, the topic for tonight is on patience. I looked up patience, and it says, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Be patient. Your time will come. I don't think that the way that Webster or whoever the dictionary folks wrote that, really didn't capture what we as believers have read about what patience is in the Bible. It's just maybe we get another glimmer of or aspect of what patience is, but I figured I'd dig into it and kind of explain it. This will probably be a part one, or this is going to be one of these teachings where I'll come back maybe in 6 months and kind of refine it, because it's not going to be exactly, it needs some revision. I'm going to let you know that. Let's turn to James, please. First chapter of James. James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Sometimes I'll read that. I said, James, a servant of God, to all of you guys, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I said, well, how does that work out? How is that going to work patience? Patience is either you're patient or you're not. How does that work patience? It sounds like we all have a measure of patience in us that needs to be developed and exercised in ourselves. Our patience needs to get worked out. I know I hate to be preaching to people, but I'm going to tell you, my patience needs to be worked out and developed in me. And the way that it happens is through our trials. Our trials are training us to develop and nurture God's nature within us. These trials develop patience in us. Let's imagine that we like to talk about developing things and exercising and try to build our body up. Let's just imagine that patience is on a treadmill, or patience is on the elliptical or doing the circuit training. And our trials is those exercise equipment. But our trials is the treadmill. Our trials is the ellipticals. Our trials is the weights needed to build ourselves up. And if we don't exercise with these things, the things we need to exercise with, we're not going to be building patience in us. We're not going to be building the fruit of the Spirit in us. We're not going to be having the Lord's, Christ in us, be developed in us if we don't work on these trials in our lives. Now, some of our trials, I know everybody has some trials, some of the trials that I've had, they get so much, it's almost like you'd rather just forget about it and survive. But when I was doing this, I thought, well, the thing to do is to take those trials and lift it up to the Lord and then live your life the way the Lord puts it out. Do good to others. Make sure you're reading and praying and all this kind of stuff. Even though you got this stuff pushed up to the Lord and you want the Lord to work on it, and you're trying to forget about it, that's what he really wants us to do, is surrender it to him and do those things that we can do to make ourselves strong and, get better at whatever we're going to get better at. I don't know where that was. Verse 4 in James says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. I was looking at all the different versions in the Bible. I thought, well, let me just throw out those things so we don't have King James stuck in our head. The other ones are kind of like, let perseverance finish its work. Allow perseverance to finish its work. Let endurance have her perfect work. It's not over with here. It's not like, let patience have her perfect work. patience isn't going to do it on our own. It's us having to work in it so that it accomplishes what it's there for. We have an action required for patience to develop, and that's through our trials. And it's not escaping or ignoring or acting like your trials aren't there. It's trying to work through it and maneuver it so that you are on top of it instead of it being on top of you. Why? That you may be perfect and entire, mature and complete. Perfect and complete. There are times where we feel incomplete, immature, and definitely not perfect. When we see those times in our life, which I can see, I've seen it for the longest time in me. I haven't been functioning to the best of my ability. And it's mainly because I let my vision be crowded with the trials. Oh, this, that, and the other. All these bad things that are going on in my mind or in my, well, family's okay, but it's all in me. It's me. I'm going to tell you. It's me. That's a red flag. And the way it evidenced itself is, I'm not functioning like I'm supposed to. I feel incomplete. I feel immature. I feel not perfect. Perfect's another way for mature. My adequacy and incompleteness and dissatisfaction is an indication that my trials and circumstances have gotten on top of me. And my trials and circumstances have been on top of me for a long time. And the thing is, it messes up how you see. It's like, you want to say, can't you see I'm drowning here? Throw me a rope. Pray for me. Do something. I got my situations squishing me and suffocate me so I can't move. It's like I'm pushing up the barbell. It's too heavy for me, so it's on my neck. Choking me. Or I got the treadmill going so fast I can't stop because I'm going to fall off. I can't stop, I'll fall off. I can't run fast enough to keep up. But it's all what I've done in the past to handle my trials and circumstances, my problems. My problems weren't getting any better because I wasn't combating the problem. I was letting them suffocate me. And in my own self, I'm thinking, you got to read. You got to pray. You got to worship. You got to make sure you're fellowshipping. And I'll do that. It's like, okay, Lord, this is all I can do today. One verse. And then I'm thinking, I haven't read the word. I get the phone and cheat. I say, okay, I'll listen to this. Okay, checked it off. I got it. It's not the same. Reading your Bible and having it on here, it is not the same. It can do in a pinch. But it's not the same for me. Now, other people, I know, they need that because they're scheduling work. But for me, I need to do better about getting in the actual word, knowing where it is and flipped up. And you need it flipped in your Bible so that you know where it is. That's the Lord. That's the word. Now, I know people could say, oh, that's old-fashioned. Old-fashioned people read your Bible. But my gosh, I'm not going to get the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Dead Sea Scrolls don't go out of fashion.
The Codex.
I don't talk about that kind
Codex
of thing.
Codex.
So anyway, my incompleteness and my ineffectiveness has really brought it to my attention that I've got to do something now. And if anybody else is in that boat where your trials and tribulations are squishing the life out of you, then you need to turn it around and use that. Exercise with that, inside of that, so that the Lord can work within us, His nature. The exercise equipment is good for us, but not if it's on top of us. If you can't, I already said that, I'm not going to worry about that. But anyway, let's use the example for the barbell. We're lifting weights, mm-hmm. and we have too much weight on it and it's crushing us, then that's where we ought to look and see. The Lord's got somebody there to help pull it off of you so that you can adjust the balance, make sure the weight isn't too high for you, and give you a little encouragement. Here, you are trying to read the whole Bible in a year. You can't do that, Jane. Just try 3 chapters a day. Start that and then work it up. And then you take the weights off of the thing and say, oh yeah, I can do it now. All right? The other thing, the Lord gives you these things to work on. Let's say the treadmill. You're not going to go anywhere if you get on a treadmill and don't turn the thing on. It's not going to benefit you. You need to at least walk. So he said, well, you're going too fast. You can't get on it that fast. You got to put it down and then move it up in increments so that you can keep up. Once you can develop your muscles and your endurance, what you can do is then you can beef it up, and then that way you can be working through these things instead of it, letting it, work on you. Like if you were to get on the treadmill, have you ever tried to stop and you're not hanging on? You better either hang on or step off. Otherwise, you're going to go off the back end. If you're running track at the gym, you need to either move, keep on moving, or you need to get off because you're going to inhibit those folks behind you, or you're going to get trampled and knocked over. So how does patience work out? How do we work out our patience through these trials and testings? It takes faith. You have to have faith working in you to do. It takes faith, to please the Lord. And the things we're doing is you have to pray. Even if it's hard, even if it's a little bit, you have to pray. You have to worship the Lord, even if it's hard. And sometimes I don't do it. I sing. Sometimes if I know the words, I sing. But I tell you, it's not effective unless you're connecting the Lord. Mm-hmm. You can sing the words on the page, but if it's not connecting your heart to the Lord, really isn't benefiting anybody, especially if your voice isn't that good. It's like, I don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. What's the point? Fellowshipping. You got to, contact people. I know Mark will always stay in contact with me. He'll send me a message or something, and I answer back. Not because I like Mark, but the thing is to reach out and fellowship with people.
You don't dislike him.
I don't dislike him. Well, you're all right. I like you. But anyway, the idea, you got to pray, worship, fellowship, read the word, and do good works. If you're, sitting there watching TV, I will sit there and watch TV, and I'll see Bob down the street. He'll come walking his dog. He's retired. He's by himself. He's younger than us. So if I see them, I can sit there and keep watching the news or doing whatever I'm doing. But I say, Stan, I'm going to go see Bob. So I go out there, we talk to Bob, and I scrub the dog's belly. It's an optional thing, but the Lord wants us to do optional good deeds, good things for other people, just to spread his love. And you wouldn't believe how many times the conversation goes into talking about the Lord. I mean, he'll say, my kids don't know this, but I have read the Bible. I've read a lot of the Bible, and he says, they think I don't know it because I'm Jewish. I said, Bob, you're probably a Jew for Jesus. And he looked at me and said, do you think so? I said, I bet you are a Jew for Jesus. And so that opened the can of worms that a lot of times when we talk, it goes into talking about the Lord. And don't think that the Lord's not going to use that for every one of us. The Lord might put on your heart to go talk to somebody. It might be the cash register person, but that's how the Lord's going to open up and get into these folks' life by seeing, oh, well, this person's a Christian and this person's talking about the Lord. And so that's what we ought to do, is to do that so that the kingdom of God can be manifested in this world. The results from doing that, and that's working off that same verse I was working on, the results is satisfaction, wanting nothing, lacking in not lacking in anything and failing in nothing. One of those old-fashioned songs that people say, that one, that song. Why it comes back to me is we learned a song a long time ago, count it all joys, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, count it all joy. And we ought to be planting things like that in our heads so that at a drop of a moment, the word can come to your mind and you can use these things in your life. And it's going to cause us growth. Patience needs its workout. And the way we work it out is in these trials, that in spite of having that weight on your head and the weight of the circumstances upon us, you still keep on flexing those muscles. Say, I'm going to read the Bible no matter what. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to practice these songs this week so that I can be a help to Justin and not a burden. So that the anointing can come through so that we can all get connected with the Lord. That's what I really want, is I know I'm not effective. And I'm not effective because the river hasn't been flowing through me, because the trials and tribulations has me clogged up. I mean, I haven't even told you everything. I was on a prescription drug for years that I knew was bad for me. And we don't really talk about it because people aren't supposed to get off of their prescription drugs. But I had permission. I went through a doctor's thing. And I whittled down so far so I got off of it. But the side effects were so hideous. I had this darkness, afraid to go to bed, afraid to get up, and couldn't get things started, feeling depressed, and never being able, like, I can function. And I went to one prayer meeting when I was horrible. All I could do was grab Kelly and just bawl my eyes out, which is horrible because he's not a hugger and I'm not a hugger. But he helped me in that big time. But it was because all that crowded in my head. The worst thing is I kept most of it a secret. Nobody knew about how horrible that time was. It took me years to get through that cleansing of getting all that stuff out of my system. And I don't suggest anybody doing anything that. What I could say, don't get on any medication unless you're supposed to do it, because it could have some really harmful effects. I'm just glad I survived it. Yeah. You know, that the way it works on your head, I would try to read the word. I tell you, I would read one sentence, it wouldn't get right. I'd have to start all over again, read it again. Got through the paragraph, keep on going. Oh, what did I say there? It messes with you if you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. And sometimes doctors will prescribe something, and maybe you're supposed to take it for a little bit of time, but, you know, after 10 or 15 years, you're stuck. And anyway, so you take that stuff, you can't get it out of your system without it having, like, a poisonous effect on your body. And so that's why I'm saying, you know, it's not a good idea to have anything like that. So anyway, luckily I'm not off of that. I'm not taking anything, to be honest with you. I just make sure I take vitamins, and sometimes I do nasal sprays. Well, that's too much information. I'm not supposed to. Well, anyway, and if you don't work out, you know, by reading your word or praying or worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with others, you could get stuck. It's kind of like if you're driving a clutch. I know it's old-fashioned, but we drive stick shifts sometimes. And it's kind of like you had your clutch mashed in, and you're not moving in a gear. You're just coasting. And I know I've been coasting just as a matter of survival. But the thing is, it's time for the Lord to say, you know what? I think you're recovering long enough that you got to get on top of these trials and situations so that you can grow. Because being inefficient is not a way nobody wants to be stuck being inefficient. So we need to give all of our trials and circumstances to the Lord. We need to exercise our faith and attack those things and build patience within ourselves by reading your word and worshiping and praying and give all these circumstances to the Lord. And that way, that's our workout. And if you get up in the morning, you just don't feel like doing it, just say, it's your workout. And it's kind of like when you're exercising. I know Stan used to get up and exercise when he lived in college, right? And I remember him telling us that if you're going to get in shape, you better be getting up. And he would get up at 6 in the morning and go run. And then come back in and say, well, you're going to get in shape, you better get up at 6 in the morning and run too. But that same mindset, that's what we need to get in also so that we can work on our spiritual development, not just our physical.
Amen.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And I've got to start in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, the whole teaching here is about patience, but the thing you don't realize is the patience has a lot to do with endurance, long-suffering. So if you got these trials, somehow you got to find some joy, because the joy is what makes us strong. Even if people look at you and think you're half crazy, if you can find something funny about it, laugh about it. Yeah, or find something that you can say, oh, that can give me some joy. Or call somebody. I could call Beth, I guess, and say, I need some joy. Give me joy.
She says, sure, I'll send her over.
Sure, I'll send her over. Oh, my goodness. I forgot what verse I'm in. What verse am I on?
You just finished 11.
Here we go.
12.
12, here we go. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers with the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear saints. You know, the process of us going through this, it will begin to deliver yourself. You'll deliver yourself if you do those things that make you strong so that you're not under the thumb or under the weight of your trials and your tribulations. So the word, worship, pray, fellowship, and doing good works is what we need to do. Give thanks. We need to partake of the light. We need to grab our inheritance, possess redemption, accept our forgiveness, because it talks about forgiveness in here as well. No more are we to be battered and pitied and deflated, keeping those situations with us with the Lord. Because when you say, oh, I'm just having patience through this situation, I mean, how silly is that? Makes you feel weak? Say, I'm just being patient. It's like you want to slap them and say, no, you need to work through this problem. You get power through exercising, reading, and worshiping. Our walk is a process. It's not something that can be done overnight. I mean, yeah, well, I guess you could go to a church and somebody's been walking with the Lord, but everybody's got their story to tell. And sometimes you go, well, they haven't had that to deal with. They haven't had that to deal with. And so you get a kind of a chip on your shoulder and get a bad attitude. So, well, they haven't had as bad as me or X, Y, and Z, which is bad. So you got to keep your attitude correct too. I'm going back to James. Finish up with James chapter 1, 5 through 7. If you lack any wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not a man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if nothing else, we got a promise there that we need to ask for wisdom and the Lord will give it to us. So that is encouraging, even if we're on the outs with ourselves and with the Lord. As long as we know the things we need to do to exercise, that's what we need to do, like it or not. And we need to count it all joy. Does anybody have any questions? Because I might have said something wrong or skipped over something.
Are you going to babysit Joy?
Well, she's a big girl.
Good job.